today is from the two sessions which we have together, the session which I consider most important. It is about the Holy Name. I think you remember from yesterday that in spiritual life we are aspiring to enter a field in which spiritual experience is possible, that is the sacred space within. That's one way of saying it. Spiritual life means to take our attention away from the world which we perceive with the external senses and to discover the richness that lies there in the soul, in the self, and that eternal and blissful relationship with Krishna. So today I would like to introduce to you another powerful practice which we have been doing, that is the chanting of the holy names. But I would really love if we can just go through a recap of yesterday. Remember, we were talking about a very good way to engage with the Bhagavatam. There were three things. Let us see if we get them together between all of us. Mm-hmm. How should we read the Bhagavatam? Regular. Very, very good. Then we should read it with rapt attention. You say it very nicely, Kelly.
Thank you.
We should really see that our mind is not splayed out somewhere, but it is in the receptive mood. I often say, when you engage with the wisdom text, get into the receiver mood, where you receive, and a lot will be given. And finally,
with faith.
With faith, yes, yes. With some faith that, okay, this may be beyond my present capability of understanding, but who can say that an ant can understand everything? So yes, now I want. We also talked about three powerful methods that help us digest the text and make it our own. Remember, only foodstuff which is digested can give us strength on our way, and we can move forward with digested knowledge. So, what were these three things? We first start with listening, hearing. Yes, with a just a. Sometimes we need to see that the subjects which we listen to pass by. Well, welcome everyone. Wow. See, we have a celebrity amongst us, Marva, and he attracts other colorful guests. Wonderful, wonderful. So, Greg, we wouldn't start without you. we first hear and we allow the subject matter to pass by. The guard on the inner space, who's standing before that door of the temple of the heart? The ego, yes, Kelly knows everything. The ego and the self-asserting ego, I, mine, and so on. So we first listen, attend. Then, after listening, what is so important to have us there? Reflecting. So important. Reflecting as you are, as your present thoughts are, as you understand things. Reflect about them. Look for things, other things which you, where you resonate. You will see the moment you begin to reflect, there will be other all of a sudden the world will speak to you. Mm. Krishna will speak to you through the talking thing of the world. You will see signs everywhere. You will see cross references in shastras everywhere. So reflecting is so important. There was a Swedish emperor who took every day a bath in a golden bathing tub. And he had inscribed on the walls of that golden bathing tub, "A life without reflection is not worth living." Because everything passes by. You cannot capture any treasures, any inspirational text. Everything just goes through you. So reflecting is very important. And I have news for you. This is something very subjective. You have to do it on your own. Your teacher, your spiritual guide, even if later you decide to take initiation in bhakti, all these will not be able to take this, to do this for you. It's you who have to do it. Finally, the last thing, so that spiritual knowledge becomes actualized in us, apply. Even if it's a little teensy teensy something, teensy weeny bit. I'm learning American language. So, like when you come back from this retreat, there should be one thing, let us call it the one gold nugget that was sticking in your sieve or sifter, no? That you should take with you. Otherwise, this retreat will only be a pleasant memory. Also nice. After all, we need some pleasant memories from time to time. But this is something else. We are practicing spiritual life. And it can really give you a good start. Fine. Now we will sing just a little bit the kirtan. Then I will take you through a workshop that will tell you a few very, very important secrets of chanting kirtan with the maximum effect. I cannot avoid to introduce our Madhava to you. Madhava and myself have great respect for each other because we are chanting the holy names. Madhava was growing up in Vrindavan Dham. You have heard about Vrindavan as the mandanga player of a great stalwart devotee who was totally dedicated to kirtan. His name is Aindra Prabhu, and he taught Madhava everything, including to become humble by cleaning the bathrooms. You know, the everything, and not the easy way. There was a traditional school. And Madhava is traveling all over the world. He's known for his kirtans in various circles. I cannot think of any place where he has not chanted, and he has kindly agreed to come for this evening's, I think from 7 to 9. And we might not be absolutely British with 9 o'clock. It could become a little longer if it's so developed. Good. So let us sing. Sorry, I need still my... It's nice to see all of you. Do you notice by this retreat we become one company, you know? No, we become community, I wanted to say, not company. Let us apply what you learned yesterday, what we learned yesterday. Let us sit nicely. Please just bring your shoulders up to your ears and then roll them back. We want to widen our breathing volume. And let us take a few nice deep breaths. About the sacred space within in relationship to our kirtan. So with our attention we go into the heart space. There is this place, you could call it the temple of the heart, and we sing from that place. You will see a pronounced difference. It will be very oceanic, the chanting. Please chant now. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Oh! You're getting the idea. Let me do something for you that is mimic what happens when I chant on the level of the mind. Or when I chant on the level of the mind, I'm going. Let me now mimic for you what happens if I go into this inner space where I am there as the soul, different from the body and my mind. Let's not forget. Something opens in me, especially if I'm mindful that this is Krishna's holy name and I'm addressing him, no? Who is standing on the other side of birth and death. Totally different dimension, no? So that will be important to notice. We will go now a little bit into Kirtan, but then I would like to guide you into an exercise with Kirtan. We don't always know what will happen in these exercises. Maybe something will happen for you. It's a subjective experience in the heart. Let us first of all just hear a little bit framing. Naam Kirtan comes from the root word in Sanskrit, Kirt. What does Kirt mean? Because then you really know what Kirtan is all about. Does Kirt mean group singing? Does Kirt mean finding your voice? The syllable Kirt means to glorify. So Kirtan is really like a spiritual hymnos, a glorification of the Lord. Now why do we glorify Krishna? Is there anything to glorify about? Yes, this is expressed in the Bhagavatam. Kale dosha nide rajan Asti Chegoma Hangunan. This text informs us that in this age, everything is covered with some mistake. Even nowadays, you're lucky if you get pure drinking water, no? Or pure air. And everywhere there is some mistake. Pure minds, that's difficult to find nowadays. Pure hearts, good luck. Pure air is rare, but pure hearts is rarer still. This age of Kali is full of mistakes, they say. However, there's one single good quality which makes up for all everything, even for Donald Trump. Oh, I should not talk politics here. I have not said anything. Who said anything? So there is one good quality in this age which makes up for everything. Simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can become free from material bondage and be promoted to the transcendental kingdom. The Sanskrit word is param vrajet. You can get the highest goal. By the way, whatever is your highest goal, if you sing kirtan, pure kirtan, or as pure as possible, the kirtan will bring you there. It is sometimes compared with a powerful boat that can bring you over a difficult to navigate ocean. This age of Kali, with its complexities, can be sometimes taxing, difficult, but if you have a safe and sturdy boat, then there is a possibility that you won't drown in your attempt. So it can bring you to the highest destination, Param Brajet. Why is kirtan so powerful, we have to ask? Well, the best way to understand it is by means of a traditional analogy. Krishna is actually present. And the example which is given, if I have this cold iron and I place it into fire, then this iron, by means of absorption, will take on the qualities of fire. It will be warm, very warm, and also it will be a little glowing, it will make light and so on. So the transference of Shakti, of energy, this is the point of this example. Something which is in the fire, that is heat and light, becomes transferred into iron by the law of association. You know, it's coming together. So in the same way, the names, spiritual names, also Patanjali Yoga Sutras talk of Om as the name of the one beyond time. Ishvara is a timeless being, you know. That is identical with that timeless being, you know, due to the power of transference. He has transferred all his Shaktis into the holy name. And do you know what? I just studied this, and I'm totally inspired. I think Madhava and all those who have come to accompany him this evening will find great relishment in hearing this. One Shakti, you know, we speak of the transference of Krishna comes into the holy name, and with him all the Shaktis. One transference. Now, one Shakti is, please listen attentively, this is already on level two, but you are ready to hear the power of revelation. So when I chant these sacred names, Om, Krishna, Rama, then there is a divine presence it's somehow in the air. But if you continue to chant, this presence will reveal itself to you. You will see Krishna with his attributes and so on. And to it is something, it is said, don't speak about your spiritual realizations. But I have met many who, where this revelation starts to happen, that when they, as they chant, they actually feel in the presence of Krishna, they see. This is very confidential. More cannot be talked about. So, the Shaktis, the Krishna is there with his Shakti. Let me speak in New York English to you. This will work on you. You know, it will do something with you. It will transport you to another place where you are, and it will also affect that which all of us are so eager for, that is a revelation, an insight, you could call it enlightenment, transformation. We want that the lead, ordinary lead of our heart, becomes gold. It's nothing less than the alchemists tried to effect in Europe, no? In this direction. Hopefully, or maybe that area, I don't know. The people there tried to do this. Yes, my dear people, this is why you yesterday heard a dying man who could not move, who felt the restlessness, you know. Did you see he needed to take a stick and do something? But did you hear his words? He said, I have seen talk and I have also seen walk. You know, and he meant something like we say, walk your talk, no? Mm-hmm. Practical, it must be real. So he said, yes, this works really. Yeah? And he confided in me later how he actually felt that you all coming to him in the evening of his life, that was a fulfillment of a prayer. He said like this to me, and then he stopped because his voice could not carry any more words on this, and his eyes became foggy and then wet. Yeah, so it works. Why does it work? Once again, this is very important, my dear people. It is most important. Krishna becomes present in sound, so that you cannot. So, and if that becomes revealed to you, you can see and feel. Therefore, in India, you find, you know, you in Radha Krishna temples, we usually see Krishna playing his flute, and next to him, Radha. But there are temples where you see no Radha, apparently. You only see some, a little like this, a cloth, like the women put the zari like this over their head. You see this, and you can't really see inside. You see it, it's turned towards Krishna. Krishna's here. And first I didn't know. I said, where's Radha? I thought this is a Radha Krishna temple. Then one sadhu says, you can't see? And what he was referring to was, there was the sacred name of Radha engraved on something, and that's Radha fully, and it was covered with a zari. There's a Sanskrit for this, because you all love Sanskrit and are expert, I know. Binatvang nama namino. It is not a material name under any condition. It is not less powerful than Krishna, because the name of Krishna and Krishna himself are identical. Kirtan, you can, in other words, you can see it a little bit like a magnifying glass, if you so want. Or we can also use the example of spectacle. I can't read this without this. But if I put this on, I can read to you so that until in the end you would give up and fall asleep so much. I won't do this, don't worry. So Kirtan is a magnifying glass, if you so want. That's the language which Jiva Goswami uses, which brings something that is in the distance close. Yes. I have a friend, he's a professor in the Frankfurt University, emeritus by now. He once went on a Feldforschung. What is Feldforschung in English? It is when the scholars go somewhere to investigate something, to explore something. He went to Vrindavan, he wanted to get some first-hand experience of Kirtan and how people see Kirtan. So he went into one of these widow ashrams. Banu Nandini takes care of one of these ashrams by financially taking care that they have meals. I think we feed a few hundred, she feeds a few hundred widows each day. So they sing all day the holy name. Their family life is over and they sing. So Professor Weber goes with his microphone and his dolmetscher to these widows when they make a pause and said, "What do you feel when you are in Kirtan?" And one of these widows with the impressive two tooth which he has, it talks to him, and it translates, in case you did not know the Hindi, it translates into, "When I am chanting, I feel I'm in the kingdom of God." No, and he translated this for the Christian world in Germany, "When I do Kirtan, I feel in paradise." Their words is Bhagavan, I feel actually in the kingdom of God. Now, my dear everyone, I'm sorry, I don't know, I'm Raghunath in Raghunath's presence, I'm starting to come on fire. Raghunath is presently on a motorcycle driving his boy to the last day of school, he has to do. He's not, but we have a lot of sangha and we talk to each other, of course. So in Kirtan, it needs to be an immersive experience. You are where your mind is. Someone, there's an ancient story, two brothers are walking to get to a town, but the monsoon comes in between. So one brother, in order to find shelter, runs right and finally ends up in a temple. The other brother runs left and ends in the house of prostitution. So the brother in the temple thinks, "Oh, so boring. I might go for an adventure this night." Is he really in the temple? Yeah, his body is, but his thoughts are somewhere. And the other brother is in this house, and he thinks, "No, I'm really in the wrong place. I wanted to go to it temple. When the rain is over, I will go, and then I will take flowers with me. I will offer them on the altar. I will pray for my family, and so on. I think you would agree, the second brother, although he is physically somewhere else, he is really in the temple. You are where your mind is. Therefore, you need to make kirtan an immersive experience. How do you make an immersive experience, by the way? Well, the body is not unimportant for an immersive experience. You're welcome. you are in the kirtan, fully present with your body. You sit, or you sit there, and then you make sure that you actually do the two important processes of bhakti. Shravanam, you hear first what is the kirtan leader singing, what is the melody, you try to capture the nuances, you try to even capture his mood, you know. Therefore, kirtan leader should be in a good spiritual mood. Then you sing the melody and you listen to it. This is what you do with the body. Now comes the second level. You need to bring your mind there. In the Gita, mind control is very simply explained. It is wherever the restless mind wanders, one should certainly bring it back under the control of the self. You all know Krishna does, and he once, after a kirtan program in Munich, which we did together, we had a yoga exposition in Munich. Oh, that was something. That should be done in America also. It's a very nice concept, but not now. I don't want to explain it now. And then, you know, he confided in me. He said, oh, for me this kirtan was very difficult because my mind would always go to other places. And I don't want to say to what places. You know, he thought about, he had some financial crisis and so on. So, and I asked, so what did you do? And he said, a very good question. I tell you what I will do next time. I will bring my mind away. I will bring my mind back. By now, I personally think when you catch your mind being absent-minded, congratulations, you deserve a garland. You are very perceptive. Most of the time, the mind is absent-minded. Maybe not necessarily in some specific thought, but in some specific mood. You are moody in some certain way. So when you can see it, you have just now done a very important yogic step. You can observe the mind. This means you have seen it is different. You have seen this mind is doing something else than you wanted to do, almost like a small little dog, or like the sheep, you know, the very nice sheep. They are really in some different mindset. And if we don't lock the doors here, and so on. And so they will urinate. Yeah. So they don't do all this what we want them to do, but if you can see that you are different than the mind, you can actually tell them what to you can tell your mind, please come back, it will be in our interest, mine interest, and even you will become happy. So the mental, the practice in kirtan which you do is two. You bring your mind back from wherever it wanders, and the second is you practice absolute presence. When you are with Hari, it's only Hari for you. Mm-hmm. When you are with Krishna, it's Krishna. When you are with Rama, it's Rama. I have not come upon a better practice to practice mindfulness than mantra. Because the effect of mantra is, man means manas, the mind, and tra, it liberates or it brings it back. So, but you must practice, or it's good if you practice, present moment awareness. Be in the now, Mr. Eckhart Tolle. He's also German, so we can talk. Be in the now. Now, it's now. Present moment, not when you chant. This is what you do with the mind. What do we do with the mind?
We let it run wild.
yes, we let it run wild in kirtan, but in kirtan. Yes, we bring it back to the kirtan. Thank you. And the second is?
Present
moment awareness. Yes, present. Yes. This was very good. We come to the last and the most secret area of kirtan. And to clarify this, I would love to tell you the story of my favorite kirtan singer. It's about, some say 5,000 years back, others say 3,000 years back. She is a queen. Draupadi is her name. Mm-hmm. You must have heard. Draupadi, the wife of the famous five Pandavas, was lost due to incredibly, it was an entanglement of different things which happened. She was lost in a game of dice. There was no way to avoid it. I see some of you how could this happen? It happened. We would have to sit here for 3 hours before. She was lost. And she knew the one who was now her new owner had very mean intentions in relationship to her. He made it clear by taking his dhoti up and bearing his upper tie, what was his intention. Draupadi, a queen, felt helpless. She had been dragged into the assembly hall. I heard she was dressed in one red garment that means she was in her womanly days. The time when a woman is psychologically and emotionally very vulnerable and tender. She was then brought in. She was telling to the assembly, Bhishma, O guardian of Dharma, guardian of our dynasty, protect me from this wrong. But Bhishma, due to, again, a network of impossible things, turned the face another way and cried. He couldn't do anything. She turned to the assembled kings. She said, it is not right. You know it. They became mute, like on Zoom. Yes. Sorry. Yeah. The intention was made clear. Draupadi would be publicly disrobed, publicly, before all the kings, all the various dynasty holders, before even a spiritual teacher, she would now be publicly disrobed, something which is incredibly humiliating. Women who do this in the ancient, who suffered from this in the ancient times, would commit suicide. This was the only way which they thought was open for them. So when everyone turned a mute ear, or voice, a powerful man, the brother of the king to whom he was lost, began his heinous work, taking the cloth. And he was strong, the Mahabharata says, like 10,000 elephants. Very strong. She tried to defend herself. She was born in the Kshatriya dynasty, a dynasty of accomplished warriors who even know the mystical weapons which were used at that time. But she understood very soon that I'm helpless. At this moment, she turned to Kirtan. She chanted the holy names. Please repeat after me. Hey Govinda!
Hey Govinda!
Oh, you have even the mood, the right mood. Hey Damoda!
Hey Damoda!
Hey Janardhan!
Hey Janardhan!
Hey Madhusudan!
Hey Madhusudan!
She chanted various sacred names, and Krishna knew, I am called. I was not called when she turned to Bhishma. I was not called when she turned to the kings. I was not called when she... But now I am called and I shall come in my own way. So what Krishna chose to do is he arrived at the spot in his aprakat rupa. Aprakat means it's not visible to mundane eyes. And from his hand, sari material issued forth. Beautiful sari. So the name of this rogue was Dushasana. He pulls up a pile of sari, best sari material. He pulls more, until the whole big hall is almost filled. And everyone is... And finally, he is so tired after some time, he is fainting. Later, Draupadi met Krishna and said, why did you only come in the last minute and not before? They were almost successful in humiliating me. And here Krishna spoke about full immersion. He said, Draupadi, you had called my name before, but you really turned to the kings. The mind was somewhere else. Draupadi, you called, you said, oh Govinda, oh Govinda, but you really turned to grandfather Bhishma. Only when you turned to me, and later, you defended yourself. Your body was engaged in Kshatriya ways. You defended yourself from being disrobed. Only when you turned to me, body, you called out like this. She threw up her hands. Your mind was focused on me as the only shelter, and your heart was one single prayer. Then I came. Full immersion is important. Don't you all know when you are in Kirtan and you go like, oh, hopefully it's over. So, no, I'm very spiritual. I'm a yogi. I don't. Oh. That's receive. I'm just meditating a moment. You know, you have, and you think, when will this end and I can eat something? You know, that is, the mind is in the prasadam room already, not in the kirtan. So this full immersion of body, mind and heart was shown by this great devotee who called out with her voice and with her gesture. It doesn't mean that all of us have to go like this when we do kirtan, but we can pronounce the name very nice. Who was there with her mind? She was not distracted, she was fully focused, and she was there with her heart, prayerful. No? I know we have a relationship. I remember now that incident. Once, Krishna, you came to me. It was after, in the afternoon, you came to the royal palace. And although there are many maidservants, I personally brought you your fruit dessert in the afternoon. And I remember I brought you sitafal. This is a fruit which you cut the peel and you immediately eat. And it is very sweet, very nourishing. It's a fruit, it said, Lord Rama produced it for Sita. Yeah, it's a very, 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 very good fruit. So I gave you the platter with the sitafal. They look a little like apple, like this. And there was a knife next to you. Because you needed to cut and have it immediately. So you took your knife, you looked at me, you took the fruit, and you, who never make a mistake, cut the fruit and the knife went into your finger and blood was coming. Immediately, I ripped my zari and I tied my zari around you and you smiled and you said, Draupadi, one day, remember, I will repay you in kind. Krishna could have dropped a stone. Krishna could have sent a tornado. He could have sent a beautiful elephant, which would just, you know, went into the hall, and who would pick up Draupadi, and he would could have said, don't mess with Draupadi. That could be a speaking elephant. Krishna can have various ways in which he could take care, but he took care in giving that sari, because he remembered when this incident, and his words, I will give you back your sari. Many folds. He knows past, present, and also future. He had seen this scene, and he had decided, he had planned already way back how he would deal with this. But he did so only when there was a full immersion, body, mind, and heart. This is the secret of good kirtan. So I would like to now guide you into this. Krishna later commented, Krishna says, when I was away from Draupadi, she cried with the words, Hey Govinda!
Hey Govinda!
This call for me, this kirtan, has put me in her debt, and that indebtedness is gradually increasing in my heart. It's becoming more and more. And then Prabhupada says, the Mahamantra is also simply an address to the Lord and his energy. So to anyone who's constantly engaging in addressing the Lord and his energy, we can imagine how much the Supreme Lord is obliged. It is impossible for the Lord to ever forget such a devotee. So would you like to make an immersive experience?
Yes.
I also would very much. Okay, so we need a few items here. First this. What? Should I go higher? We need to decide the tonality. Please go. And what will we say? Why not the same melody? What was the melody again? Yes, very good. Yes, please, your good name?
Shyama Priya.
Please join our band. We will play very softly. So. Please find a comfortable sitting position. Is it the two friends are there? Yeah, on a seat or on a seat is good, but also if you feel your knees, you can also sit on these chairs or anywhere. My dear everyone, it is said, one achieves perfection in chanting a mantra when one keeps the vibrated sound within the heart and controls the materially attached mind. And perhaps a little bit more simpler English, it means you go into the heart space and chant from there. And when your mind, due to its clinging, its various projects out there, wanders and leaves, you just bring it back. No? We discussed about all these points, so it should be easy. Because it is from attention where attraction is born, and from this attraction a higher form of attachment arises. So if you are attentive to the sound and you keep it in the heart, you will develop attraction. Wow, I like this. My God, this works for me. Oh, I'm not bored. This is the best place I can be now and in the future. And you will feel after some time, by this energy which is there in the mantra, you will feel actually divine revelations come to you. Many ways. Even people who are on other paths can see this. However, if you don't catch the mind when it is becoming distracted, you will develop disinterest and then disengage. You will not be really there any longer, and your mind will go for other projects than chanting. So attention to the sacred sound brings attraction, which brings a higher form of connectedness, I would like to say, because the word attachment we have reserved for other things usually. But distraction, on the other hand, will bring about disinterest and finally disengagement, or in simple New York English, space out. I'm trying to learn your language. So we will start now, At this point, I would like to request all of you to put the notebook aside. If you wish, you can make a photo of my notes on this one and take it with you for future use, maybe. I know that Kelly is teaching kirtan in Vermont, and there's the Vermont group. Vermont sounds very French.
Yeah.
So you can have the notes. Only Kelly. Okay. I request you to sit tall. We will make a simple Dehadharana. Please bring your attention to your feet. Some of you might not be able to feel the feet, then you can move your toes for a minute, a few seconds. Then you know you're connecting there. And move your attention up to your knees and slowly to your sitting bones and relax. While keeping your very straight and alert sitting position, go to the lower spine, the back of the lower spine. Your upper back, and relax. Move to your chest and your belly, and relax. While remaining incredibly alert, go to the shoulders, which hold generally a lot of tension. Move your attention down both of the arms to the elbows and the hands, which should be rested on the knees. Palms up if possible. And relax this whole portion. Just let the shoulders sink, let them fall towards the ground. You will see there's a lot of scope for relaxation. Move gently to the back of your neck, the back of your head. By the way, normal when you relax, some tension comes and sometimes people cough. It's all right at this stage. You're only relaxing the body, nothing more, nothing less. Relax the back of your head, the top of your head. Now the forehead, facial muscles, the inside of your mouth, your tongue, your jaw, relax. Appreciate how you're relaxed from head to toe. And if you feel there's more tension still, hidden tension, try to just let go. A deep exhale and deep inhale. Whenever you exhale, deep exhale and inhale. Do this for a few times until you hear hold, And then move quickly in your breathing to the hold position and hold for the time which we hold. So again, deep exhale. And on your next inhale, when you are at the top of the inhale, hold. Hold a little bit more if possible. A little bit more if possible. And let go. Now please return to normal, natural breathing. Tell yourself, I'm letting go of my thoughts, my plans for the day, my ideas, even if I have worries and anxieties, I let go of them now. And I'm going to chant now. Sing the kirtan. Bring your innermost attention on your next inhale to the innermost core of your heart. And follow in your mind this prayer. O Supreme Being, who's variously known, O Krishna, although I have forgotten you for so many long years in this material world, today I'm turning to you. I wish to offer this chanting as an address to you. And whenever you catch your mind wandering off, no problem at all, just bring it gently back. The vibration of the holy name. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama. Hare
Krishna, Hare Krishna. Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna Krishna Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
Very good. Now please practice this present moment awareness to all the names which you chant. When it's Hari, it's Hari. When it's Rama, it's Rama. And try to also bring your heart to the practice by making a conscious turning to that supreme being who is beyond the influence of time. Please, let us sing now together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama Rama Hare Hare Last mantra all together. Let's start now.
Hare Krishna.
even silent in your mind. If you stand, that is fine. If you sit, that is fine. Let this vibration just echo or sink in a little deeper. I will give you a sign when we will return to room awareness. Try to stay in the heart space. I know I'm sounding cruel to bring you back from there, but please rub your hands as if in palming, and then bring the palms of your hands to your eyes, like in palming, and then slowly move the hands outward and look into the lines, as if you see them for the first time. And in this way, give yourself a little time, look around. I thank you very, very much. I was with Nancy and us and me were on one board. The sign was there, you know, the first sign, but not many of you were willing to get out, and we looked around. Are we the only ones who were there? But no, now you're there. Good. Summary. Kirtan is an opportunity for us to enter divine presence, because the Lord has transferred not only himself but his energies into this kirtan, so that all kinds of revelations, the revelatory shakti is one of them, can take place when you do kirtan. In kirtan, we aspire to do one thing. Do you remember this? I think you all know it, but let us just have it on the floor. Full immersion. And how do we achieve that? Yes, mind, body, and heart or soul. We start with the body, because that's something we have an immediate let us say effect on. I can say, okay, this is a little uncomfortable, let's bring the knee up. Zip. I just need to say it and whoops, it moves, by different nervous thing. Body is easy to move and control. Then we go a step deeper. Let's start with the first door into the inside world, it's physical. Then we go to the mind. What are the two things we can do to bring the mind there? In the now, being present in the now, wonderful. Yes, bring the mind back when it wanders. It will wander. How could it not? It is that the mind has 1,000 legs. say the yogis. So how can it not if you have a normal mind? It is in the beginning, yes. So bring it back to the mantra, because the mantra has a shakti on its own and transports it. The same Draupadi of whom we have heard had compared the mantra with a boat. It brings us somewhere. Now I like to think of it because my father is trainman, is a trainman, not a rainman, trainman. We grew up as he was ascending in his career on trains, you know. I had a passport. I can go with a passport anywhere in the world for free on trains. So I've lost it, and it was not renewed. So anyways, when you go into a train, there's only one crucial thing you need to know. That is, get in the train, because in 2 minutes it won't be here any longer. Do you know this moment? Okay. And then, you know, the dog flanks open and you have to make your way. No time to give important lectures at the platform or to say long goodbyes and so on. All this should have been done before. You need to now get in it, because soon it's not there. The mantra is always there, but you need to also get into it. It's very important. And remember our little slogan, you are where your stomach is. Was that right? Or no. Where your mind. Nancy knows everything. You are where your mind is. Yes. So you have to bring that there. Then the heart is best turned in prayer. My dear everyone, you do not know how lucky you are. I know one great Kirtaniya who brought Kirtan, who did a lot to bring Kirtan to the world. I personally think my spiritual master was really the first in Tompkins Square, but there were a few Kirtaniyas which brought Kirtan to the yoga scene. One of these is Syam Das. Have some of you met Syam Das? He didn't maybe have the most impressive voice of the universe, maybe not, but he had, as he would say, the bhava, the inner mood. You know, he was himself a devotee of Krishna. And he said, you know, he traveled the yoga world over. Now Kirtan is in every yoga studio, almost a must. But when it was just very new, he was traveling Kirtan. I think he introduced also a few celebrities to Kirtan. And he once told me, man, you don't know what you have. You have sambandha. The word sambandha is a Sanskrit word. It means totally bound, totally connected. You, in the yoga world, not everyone knows about how to establish a connection really with the divine, with Krishna. You know that you know about him, you pray to him, you serve him, you worship him, you really establish a connection. Therefore your kirtans have the spark, you know. It is true, if you just use the two first elements, body and mind, it can, you may still lack the rasa, the taste. But if you are able to chant with a devotional mood where you sincerely enter into the higher connection, that is very special. So yes, I have finished my presentation here. It's a small presentation oh, this is my favorite subject matter. I could talk really for a long time about it, but not now, not here. So we have a little bit more time to see if you have any questions. Could you get into it? Mm-hmm. Yeah? Isn't it wonderful? And it's right here. You don't have to go to the temple. It's nice if you visit. I'm not speaking against the temples here. You have everything there. You are well equipped for kirtan. Well equipped. And, don't let this pass by you. And sing more. You don't need to wait until you have a kirtan leader like Madhava, or you will hear this evening if you have not yet found him out. You don't have to. You can sing everywhere. Sing more. Dance more. Then you don't get old. So, yes, good. Any question? You look satisfied, no. How could you, I have a question. How could you make kirtan work at your place? Because it's very important. Remember the thing with the nudgets? You need to take something with you. When you go to Alaska, you take nudgets with you. When you go to a super soul farm, you take new insights and practices with you. First of all, there are many, many nice kirtans on the internet. I personally recommend a link of a kirtan initiative, which I know, and it's the kirtans are recorded with, to my knowledge, with the highest sound quality. You can hear really everything. It is, the website is Radha Desh Mellows. Oh, that's a long word, I know. Radha Desh Mellows. What?
We can send
on. They are really very good kirtans. Radha Desh Mellows. I personally like, and my assistant, he is a wonderful kirtan near by the bay, or I should mention. He also listens mainly from that recording page. And of course some Indian, he likes classical Indian singing and so on also. But as far as kirtan, this is highly recommendable. You will also find, well, I can't make advertisement for Madhava, I do it afterwards. You will find many of us, also from New York, Achyuta Gopi, the lioness of kirtan. Ooh, you will find her, all her many brothers and everything, everyone. You will find, yes, and so that, and then you will find, oh, this kirtan I like very much, it speaks to me. Then you just hear it a few times, even when you are driving, you can hear. Provided you don't go, so then you can hear, and then you can sing on your own, wherever you are. In Walmart is not enough kirtan. You must sing there more often. You know, Walmart, or what it's called. Yes, you can sing, and in this way, the holy name becomes ingrained in your being, and later you might pick up another practice, which is, let me say, a more solitary practice with the japa. You might like to chant with beads. But the thing is, sing more or chant more. This is the only way. Yes. One moment, I will soon come to you. So this is a good way. Another way. And I was thinking yesterday of Greg, who was playing an ambulant guitar. If that is an English word, I mean a luminous guitar. You can learn the typical kirtan instruments like harmonium. Harmonium is most probably the most simple instrument and makes a lot of sound, you know. You can learn that. There are good harmonium lessons on the online. You can see. That is possible also. No, learn the kirtan instruments and do. I think Kelly, you are doing already, isn't it? In your yoga studio?
Yeah.
Good. So you can learn and so on. Main thing is, you know, certain things you learn best by doing them. Like push-ups, you know, you can have a whole theory about it. But really, you need to do them, and then, the first it's 1.5 push-ups, then it's 3, maybe 4, 12. Kostuba does 100. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Kostuba is not an ordinary human being.
Not at once.
Not at once. Acha. 20, 20, 20, 20, 20. Yeah, like that. I die after 12 push-ups, but I'm dedicated to go now to 15. That will be possible. After all, I was with Raghunath. I should be. I did a yoga class. I should be extremely energetic. You had a question, please. Please, please.
I had my eyes closed all the time, and I was trying to visualize Krishna, just me and Krishna, and I couldn't really do that. But then I visualized all of us together in a circle, and Krishna and Radha started to dance.
Wow.
I really got this clear message that they really love when we do this. And it's just really powerful. So thank you.
Thank you. By the way, that's a very important part. What you could name again, I'm losing.
Lee.
It's not so difficult to remember. What Lee just did is very important in two ways. In Sanskrit, it's called anumodan. You go together and follow another's experience. Then Lee is now by speaking it into words, what he saw, it will stick a little bit more even. And for us, it is something, it worked for Lee. This time it may not have worked in the same way for me, in the same way, but there is a possibility that it also works or something similar comes for me. Actually, after spiritual events, this anumodan, we would say in simple American language, sharing each other's experience, no? It's very helpful because you learn when you look in the mirror of another. We become the persons we are in dialogue with others. If we would have grown up amongst wolves, we would be wolves. Yes, like that. Yeah. Do we know this? That we become in the mirror of the other, we grow. If we don't, we should not misinterpret. This is not codependence also. No, it's just recognizing something, seeing something about you. It's like looking in a mirror. You see things which you have overlooked maybe. Yes, I see you, Bhananandini.
Yes, my question to Maharaj is similar to this. But I wanted to ask you, when you sing kirtan or chant japa, what is the moment that you know now Krishna is really in the name? Like, what how do we experience, or how do we know that?
You have asked a question which I cannot answer. The reason is like this. When you start to, you can speak generally about spiritual experiences, and I can maybe talk generally, but I know you, and you want specific answers on this. When you talk very specific about the most private things, they dissolve. It's almost, imagine just a human relationship. Imagine you have a very good friend, and he talks to you, my friend talks to you, me, something very confidential, and I'm telling something very confidential. I'm daring to open up and tell very confidentially. Now, the moment one of us would carry that outside, it would dissolve. My friend would be disappointed in me. I would be disappointed in my friend. Why did you say that? Told you, for your 2 ears this was. Came from my heart to your 2 ears, and it was meant to stay there. You know, when you enter deep into spiritual life, or you try, I'm not very deep, but I try, there are wonderful treasures which come. They are delicate treasures. They are as delicate as the flames of a candle. When you bring the flames of the candle outside, the wind will come and blow it. It will flicker and go. So, but in a general way, the first thing is, which I notice, it comes in an installment. I can really be with the Holy Name. Like I'm really, it is as if I'm glued to Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, the mind. No, it's really there. Effortlessly it is there. It is there because there is some taste there. I don't need to push. I'm pulled. So that is a first installment which comes. And after that, the Holy Name takes one somewhere, into some space. And there are various possibilities which are waiting for every single one of us. Various. Sometimes it's visualization, sometimes it is, sometimes it's just like resting in the presence of the Lord and feeling I don't need anything else any longer. Mm-hmm. Perfectly calm, peace. There's not a whiff of stress or anything. Mm-hmm. Braj Bihari, I'm
reading yesterday one of the paragraphs. It talks about how Lord Chaitanya says that, but unfortunately, the Holy Name is so wonderful, but unfortunately, I have no attraction for it. So, how do we relate that to the fact that we had so much experience of the Kirtan yesterday and again today? So. It seems like we do have some attraction for it, so why say we have no attraction for it?
So you think if Lord Chaitanya says it, then
I didn't actually say
I understand. What, if he says he has no attraction, how comes that we, who are on a much different level than he, can speak of some attraction which we have yesterday or in, when one great spiritual teacher left the body, he turned to his disciples with the last message: stay thirsty. He said, and then he died. He left the body in style. When you practice spiritual life, you will get something, and quite soon you get something on the bhakti path. You all are here in the Super Soap Farm. You have gotten something very deep from Kusthuba and Raghunath, which has attracted you to come here to go on pilgrimage. There's a worldwide community of Wisdom of the Sages. I heard more than 8,000 people like this. Yeah, we can say they are by attraction. They get something. Otherwise, they wouldn't. Some have to get up at an inhumanly early time to participate, but they do because they have some higher taste than even the wonderful warm bed in the morning hours, you know. So there is immediate taste in bhakti, but when you have this taste, you get next time even more and more, and it doesn't stop. It's inexhaustible. You know, in material life, you engage with an object. Motorcycling. No. For me, the highest dream as a child was to learn to swim. When I finally remember the occasion when I finally did not sink in the ocean where I was trying. Mm-hmm. To this day. But then after some time, oh no. A little later, I wanted to have a go-kart. Do you have this in America? Oh, where I can swiftly go down a hill and go faster than the trucks and so on and so forth. And when I finally got it on my 13th birthday, 1 month, and then my friends, you're not going with the go-kart. Oh, you can go with the go-kart. I had no attraction any longer. I had fully exhausted all the possibilities of enjoyment that this go-kart gave me. In spiritual life, it's different. The more you advance, the more you taste, and the more you want to taste, until you forget everything else. Where's the world? There's no world. There's only Krishna. This is sacred longing. It's the type of mood which is good for the beginner. You want something which you have not yet attained, but it's appropriate for the advanced soul, sacred longing. Only he can swallow an ocean and we can swallow a drop, maybe, if we are lucky. Let me secretly look at the wristwatch. I would like to keep the timings because there is so much still coming. I thank you very much. You chanted very nice, and let us not forget, we start at 7 o'clock here. Please be in time. Please time yourself 7 o'clock sharp, because we can't go unlimitedly long because there's so many things happening. So we want to start on time. Huh? Yes. Do you want to say something to invite everyone? Don't worry, stay with her. They will be shaved up in a few days. Want to invite them? Or you want to invite everyone? Yes, good. So, Hari Bol. See you later.
Satyananda Maharaj ki.